glory of the new covenant is not that we're replacing Israel, but that God has included all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations and brought them together, creating one new man, Jew and Gentile, to be the Israel of God, because an Israelite has never been one who is merely external by blood, but is one who is given the new birth, who is circumcised in the heart. That's a true Jew anyway.
Man, have we got a program for you today. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are in Romans chapter 9, looking at verses 24 through 29, and the glorious truth surrounding God's sovereign rule over all of his creation is that he has combined not just his chosen elect people of the old, but you and I today as Gentiles, and he has folded us together. The two are made one. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's Abounding Grace.
At the beginning of chapter 9, the question that was raised was, has God's promises failed to them? Because they've all turned away. That nation sits in darkness. That nation has turned from their Messiah. That nation doesn't believe in Jesus. And what Paul does tonight is, after all of this, looking at the teaching of election to say, first and foremost, no, God has never gone back on the true Israel, who are his elect. That's how he's proved it. There's a true Israel. There's always been true Israelites, we'll look at this tonight, that have been coming in steadily. But tonight, we come to a string of Old Testament passages that are rather shocking when you study them and look and see what he is doing. He is making some plain observations about what the Old Testament scriptures said about this issue. And by the way, since I'm in preaching country down here and Westminster's next door, I always think, what a glorious thing to point out that some of the way that Paul always was demonstrating preaching, and even in Acts when they preached, what were they doing? They were taking Old Testament scriptures and showing that Jesus is the Christ. They were applying the Old Testament. They were showing the big picture. They were showing that the Bible is one and that all of these things that were prophesied are finding fulfillment in Jesus, and now we are to live in a way that is thankful to that. This is what they're doing. They're filling their sermons with Old Testament scripture. And so what a thing to consider when you're considering preaching. And if we're asking what did the early Christian preaching look like, here you go. If I were to say, what are the 3 points tonight? And I don't usually do that because I never really think my 3 points are very creative. But if I were boiling it down to 3 points, it would go like this tonight. God is first showing us his intention to call Jew and Gentile together as one. Second, in that he promised that he would restore Israel. He's doing that. And third, but he never said it would be every single Israelite. It would only be the remnant. I'll come back to some of those points. Tonight, God has shown us this. And remember, with last week, we left off with verse 23. He said something very powerful about what he's doing in his working as he was explaining the teaching of election. He said, remember in verse 23, that he is being patient. Think of Noah's day. He's being patient with what he calls vessels of wrath, vessels of destruction, in order that he might demonstrate what? His mercy to the vessels of mercy. And you saw that this morning with Michael. You see? The world continues. He continues to bear with all of this bad stuff you see on the news, an awful, wicked, rebellious men. He bears with that so that he might demonstrate in the midst of that his mercy to the vessels of mercy. Beautiful, isn't it? God is rescuing. He's on a rescue mission of saving every last one of his vessels to demonstrate to this world his grace. It's wonderful. And all of you should be able to testify to that. All of you should be able to say, well, I'm a recipient of that. I've received that. Look at him work steadily at the course of my life. Look at what he's done in the course of my life. Look at how he is committed to bring me through it all. He's always stood by me. He's always helped me. He's sanctifying me. He's doing all these wonderful things for me. But after this talk, which really in the first section of Romans had been focused on Israel, he says something that's startling at the end of verse 24. Notice what he says. He's demonstrating his mercy on the vessels of mercy. And then look at the end of verse 24. Even us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Whoa. Now, I don't know if you feel how shocking that is. That's a highlight verse. It's a verse everyone reads right over. You know how radical a statement that is? He just interjected into the Israel discussion, Gentiles, you. And then he starts quoting Old Testament passages. And the first one he quotes comes out of the book of Hosea. Notice what he says there in verse 25. As indeed he says in Hosea. So this was planned, Jew and Gentile, to be called. As indeed he says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. In the very place where it was said to them, I want you to think about this. In what place? In what place was it said to them? In the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. Where is that? That's why I want you to go back to Hosea tonight. And this is really important to see what Paul's doing here tonight from the book of Hosea. You know that Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel, which would soon be carried off and destroyed in the year 722. Well, no one can forget the famous scene of Hosea 1. Remember how shocking the scene of Hosea 1 was? Verse 2. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer. Now this is fascinating. They have three children by this whoredom. And notice in verse 4 their names. The Lord said to him, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the house of Israel. Now, that's fascinating. Jezreel's a weird name, which means God scatters. Scatters. God had announced he's going to scatter. Now, she conceived again, verse 6, and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her name, this is verse 6, the Lord said to him, call her name Lo Ruhamah, or No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. Now this is ratcheting it up, isn't it? The second child, no compassion, no mercy. So it goes on. Now when she had weaned, notice what it says. When she had weaned no mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name not my people, for you are not my people and I am not your God. Okay, what a horrible thing he just said about Israel. Now, what you say about God's promises in light of that? I mean, God has said there that, I mean, think of all the Bible teachers. Israel's the apple of God's eye. God's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to restore Israel to the land. He's going to give them a temple. Jesus is going to reign there. Notice what the Lord just said through Hosea. There would be a time when the Lord would say, they are not my people. How does that fit then? Well, Paul's answering that tonight. In Romans 9, he cites two verses out of Hosea. If you turn back in Hosea again to verse 2:21, this is the verse he quotes. And we just read it. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord, I will answer the heavens. And you should stop and say, well, what day? And they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Now everything was just reversed. You say, wait a minute, he just said this in chapter 1, and then in chapter 2 he says, no, there is going to be a day where I'm going to reverse all of that. So let me Have you think about this carefully for a minute? He just changed all their names. Jezreel from scatters to sows. Lo Ruhamah, no mercy, no compassion, to I will have mercy. Lo Ami, or not my people, to I will say, those who are not my people, you are my people. Everything reversed. What day? Now Paul's putting this in Romans 9. Stamps it right in Romans 9, and then he connects it with Hosea 1 verse 10. Turn back to Hosea 1 verse 10. And this is put in Romans 9. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea. Whoa, now where was that promise made? It was made to Abraham, right? Which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place, here it is, where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. So the children of Judah and the children of Israel, notice what it said here, they're going to come under one head. There's going to be this day of sowing. And he goes on to say that. The children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. Now listen to this. And they shall appoint for themselves one head. Who's that? You know who that is. It's Jesus. And they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now, notice the emphasis. They have been scattered everywhere. They're not in the land. Notice what it says. In the place where it was said, you are not my people. So that's wherever they are. In that place, they will be called my people. Where are the Jews scattered? Into Gentile regions. In that place where they call on the name of the Lord, they will be called my people. Now, if he said, I'm done with national Israel, I'm scattering them, what is this day he's talking about? Turn over to one more place tonight, and I hope this comes together for you. I knew this would be a little thick, but if you stay with me and follow, I think it'll be a great blessing when you walk out of here tonight. Turn to Psalm 87. Now, we just sung out Zion, glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Zion, Jerusalem, Psalm 87, the psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mention, now think of who he mentions, Rahab and Babylon. And behold, Philistia and Tyre and Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the people. This one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. All of these new births are happening in the earth, in Zion. Well, wait a minute, that's not in Jerusalem. I don't see it happening in Jerusalem. What is he saying? Zion's the city above. Whenever a new birth happens, guess who that includes? Rahab the harlot, Philistia. These are Gentile pagans. They are born in Zion. It's Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. These are Gentile nations. So wherever they're born, they come out of Zion. Gentiles and Jews. Now, Hosea said they were scattered to the ends of the earth, and there they would be restored, whoever called on the name of the Lord. Let me summarize again. There will be a time when I'm done with the nation of Israel, says the Lord. I'm done. I am done dealing on them with a national blood level. It's over. They will cease to be my people dealt with that way. Lo Ami, not my people. However, there will be a day after I scatter them in judgment that they will say, and they will come and call together in the nations upon the Lord, and I will again sow. And they will be under one head together, Jesus. So this is beautiful. And hasn't all that been validated? Put the story together, and I know I've done this twice in the sermons today, but see the Bible again shrink. The ultimate fulfillment of this happened when Jesus comes. He comes to the nation of Israel. And what happens to the nation of Israel? Oh, Jerusalem, how I longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks. You were not willing. He starts weeping over Jerusalem. The one who kills the prophets and stones the ones who are sent to her. Jesus laments the whole history of Israel's rebellion. He says, I wanted to gather you. You were not willing. And so guess what? Parable time. The kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. It's done. Taken it from you. Jesus dies on the cross. Cursed the fig tree, by the way, which represented national Israel, dies on the cross. The temple veil is split in two from top to bottom. And the glory departs from the temple. That was the Ezekiel scene. And a few years later, the whole structure gets toppled down. I mean, there wasn't one stone left there upon another. Do you see that Jerusalem temple today? Why? God's not localized in a little place. And what happened at Pentecost? All these nations are coming. Jews and Gentiles are coming. And the Jews are struggling with this, who are believing in the Messiah. And they say to Peter, you went to Cornelius's house and a Gentile and you baptized him? Explain yourself, Peter. And Peter begins to explain it. God gave the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to withstand God? When the Jews heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. God's included them in the plan. We accept it. And you know, that was hard for the Jews. You know, even today, the Christian church doesn't accept that. They say, well, you know, the Jews rejected their Messiah, and so Jesus just decided to go with plan B and get the Gentiles. No, no, that was not how it worked. God always planned to get the Gentiles, because when he made the promise to Abraham, he said, in you, all the Gentiles of the earth will be blessed. So here we are. And Peter would even take the language of the Old Testament and speak to you that way. You ever thought that the very language of Peter in 1 Peter 2 is the very language of the Old Testament in speaking of Israel? Listen to this. They, speaking of Israel, stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who were once not a people, Lo-Ami, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy. This is all out of Hosea. But have now obtained mercy. Has God's word failed to Israel? You see what Paul's doing? You're it. You're it. Has God cast off his people whom he foreknew? He planned to save you at this time years ago when that promise was made to Abraham. And that's why to a Gentile church, Paul says in the church to Galatia, you are the Israel of God. In Ephesians 2, he speaks to Gentiles and he says, you being without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now, day of sowing, in Jesus Christ, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Who's both? Jew and Gentile. He's made them one. He's broken down the separation to create in himself one new man from the two, wherever they call. That is the promise made to Abraham. And in fact, it's going to be fascinating next week when we come to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It's fascinating that Japheth would be brought into the tents of Shem. It's all prophesying this. The coastland peoples brought into the tents of Shem. That's Romans 11. So the glory of the new covenant is not that we're replacing Israel, but that God has included all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations, and brought them together, creating one new man, Jew and Gentile, to be the Israel of God, because an Israelite has never been one who is merely external by blood, but is one who is given the new birth, who is circumcised in the heart. That's a true Jew anyway. And so that's the beauty of what's being said to us tonight. He's called us together. And Paul, as he goes on, cites Isaiah, in verse 27 of Romans 9, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. There's always been a remnant. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay. If you want to see this on a physical Israel level, things are happening over there. It's not that it's just completely dead over there. I posted online last week, David Zadok, who I went to school with here, he has a church in the heart of Israel. And I'm overwhelmed by what God is doing with David. You know, it's called Grace and Truth Church in the heart of National Israel, Reformed Church, sitting there, that they had to appeal to the Supreme Court in Israel, and they won. And now it's opened the door for the gospel to get in. And God, you stand back and you say, well, has God cast off his people? No, the remnant's coming. Look at him. And so what a beautiful thing tonight, you know, when you go back and you read these judgment sections in the Old Testament, Jeremiah has a bunch of them, you'll come to statements like this. For thus says the Lord God, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. And when Jesus gave his great commission, that's exactly what he was talking about. What a beautiful thing. Who is the remnant? Those who see their sin. Those who bow the knee before this Jesus, the name given by which men may be saved. And confess that he is Lord. Because you see, that tonight, as we see that witnessed as we have today, as we praise the Lord for his working in our lives, we should be so thankful that the Lord has not failed on any of his promises. Because you see, unless, Paul concludes this section, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, had left us a remnant, guess what? We would have all been made like Sodom. And we would have all become like Gomorrah. And we're going to come to that in Genesis. That would have been terrible. But it's not true for us. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so the question then, sinners, tonight as we close, on what is your relationship to this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? Have you been born again in Zion? Have you been given life? Coming to him, turning from yourself, repenting of your sins, looking to him for life, he announces something to you tonight. You who are not my people, you are my people. You who didn't have mercy, you have mercy. So why don't you praise me, who has called you out of darkness, into this marvelous light, so that you might take on the designation as the Israel of God.
Well, you have been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. If you have questions or comments about the program, maybe you would like to learn more about who we are. Well, you're more than welcome to visit our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. If you have questions, well, address them to questions@agradio.org, and we'll have Pastor Chris answer them as best we can. We may even put it on the air. Again, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. Now, at that website, you will also find a few links to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on any of those platforms that you frequently visit. And again, you can also listen to past programs as you visit agradio.org. And then come back and join us next time as we continue our studies in God's Word, abounding in grace. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.